Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to see everyone. If you have your Bible, if you can turn to 1 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let me read this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Shall we pray? Father, we humbly come before you this morning. That we come, we pray, with empty hearts, ready to be filled with your truth. Be with us this morning as we study this passage, this covenant, Lord, that you have made with your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next month, I'm turning 58 years old. And Joanna told me this morning that when we first met Denise thought that we were in our 30s. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I'm turning 58 next month. And, I've been interested in politics since I was in my mid-20s. And however, I must say, and many of you will probably agree with me, that we probably have never experienced a time in our lives where there is a greater need for healing for a nation and for healing of people's hearts than at this particular time. As we enter into another election season, we are once again reminded the deep division that seemed to be widened in each passing year. I know that there are families, husband and wives, are afraid to have conversations about certain things. Parents and children were afraid to have certain conversations, neighbor against neighbors, friends against friends, colleagues against colleagues, whether it is over political ideology, social issues, or personal belief, that polarization is really the new norm and is ripping relationships apart in our country. You can feel it in conversations. You can see it in the news. You can experience it in your relationships. Division is everywhere today in our nation, and it is exhausting. Yet in the midst of this brokenness, I believe that God's words offers us a different way forward, a path that is not shaped or influenced by this world. A significant contribution to part of this division today, we feel, is really fueled by a biased media that is overwhelming, and this overwhelming presence of social media that I definitely didn't have in my 20s, right? That news outlets everywhere often is driven by ratings and agendas, and they fan this flame of division by emphasizing what separates us rather than focusing on what should unite us. Social media platforms has become a battlefield for misinformation, sensationalism, and outrage that spreads faster than the truth. Oftentimes, we are left questioning what is real and what is fake. Unable to discern the truth in a world of half-truth and manipulated narratives, this constant bombardment of conflicting information often leaves us confused, anxious, angry, and divided. So in this environment that we're in today, God calls us to be something different. God calls us to humility and prayer and repentance. We are called to see God's face in the middle of division. Brothers and sisters, the healing of our land will not come from political victories or from finally winning a debate online. It will come when we, as people of God, turn away from the divisive way of the world and seek the peace and unity that only God can bring. And as we pray, we humble ourselves and turn from our ways. We invite God to heal our fractured relationships, our communities, and ultimately our nations, our nation. The question is not whether God will hear or heal, but whether his people will take up the responsibility by inviting God into our lives and begin that healing process. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is God's answer about healing and restoration. But to fully understand this passage and the power behind this verse, we must first look at its original context. And this takes us back to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. This is during the dedication of Solomon's temple. Right? This event is a defining moment in Israel's history. Solomon, everybody know who Solomon is? Solomon is the son of King David, right? Who was chosen by God to build this temple. And this temple symbolizes God's presence among his people. And it's during this dedication ceremony, Solomon offered a prayer. And this prayer was an appeal to God to hear the cries of his people and to forgive their sins and to show mercy when they turn their back to him in repentance. This is what he prayed. He prayed this: may your eyes be open towards this temple day and night. In this place of which you said you would put your name there, may you hear the prayer of your servants pray towards this place. Hear their request of your servants and of your people of Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, what's the last word? Forgive. When you hear, forgive. Solomon here acknowledges the challenges that Israel will face, right? What will they face? They will face war, famine, exile, and recognize their need for God to intervene. So in response, God made his presence known. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, God sends fire from heaven. In hearing this prayer, God sends fire from heaven and consumes the sacrifices and fills the temple with its glory. What was that represent? That represented his confirmation of his covenant with Solomon and the people of Israel. However, God then issues a serious warning. The warning was that his blessings were conditional upon the Israel people's faithfulness. And we find that it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 19 through 22. Do we have that? I think we do. All right, let me read that. So God issues a warning that if they turn away from him, right, abandoning the covenant that was made, the temple itself will become a symbol of their disobedience, leading them to their ruins. And here's what God says. He says, but if you turn away and forsake the decree and commands I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, and then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. I will make it an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and say, what has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord, the Lord of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why he brought all this disaster on them. So, in between Solomon's prayer and God revealing his presence, to God's warning to the Israel people that what would happen if they broke this covenant with him, in between this is 2 Chronicles 7:14. This was God's response to Solomon's prayer. And he says this, God laid out in 2 Chronicles 7:14 a clear path for reconciliation in time of disobedience and judgment. His words came not only as a promise, but also as a warning to Solomon and the nation. And this is what he says, going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. This verse is in many ways prophetic for the nation of Israel. You know, as we study their history, they will be marked by the cycle of sin, judgment, repentance, restorations, sin, judgment, repentance, restoration. The nation's eventual exile, right, to Babylon was a result of their failure to uphold their side of the covenant. But God's mercy always allowed, right, for restoration as they return to him. The covenant of a God with Israel is key to understand the relevance of this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, today as we sit here. Especially as we navigate a season of division in our world, just as Israel's faithfulness or disobedience determine their national prosperity and suffering, I believe our current division, whether it's political, social, or relational, can be seen as a reflection of our nation's brokenness. God's promise to heal the land comes with conditions that speaks directly to our current challenges. We're going to spend the next few minutes really taking a deep dive into 7:14. I believe that this verse is relevant today to us as it is thousands of years ago. Right? There are 6 points that I'd like to make, but I'd like to just go back and read it again. That if my people who are called by my name, how about we do this? How about we read it together? Right? Ready? Here we go. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Amen. There's a slide that has underlines with this verse. Can we go to that one? There's no slides. Okay, just leave that there then. Just leave it there. Point number one is recognizing our role in division. Recognizing our role in division. We go back to that passage. The first part of this verse says what? What does it say? If my people. The responsibility, God says, starts with us, the people of God. Often we look outward at the division in the world and we point fingers at politicians, at the media, at all those people that we disagree with. But God's words tells us that healing begins with my people who are called by my name. That's where it starts. As Christians, we are called to be light of the world. Yet too often, we allow ourselves to get caught up in the very division, right, that we are called to heal. Instead of being peacemakers, we take sides. We contribute to the polarization. Instead of speaking grace, we speak bitterness, joining in the voices of anger and discontent. The division we see around us are not just out there. This is happening. This is happening in our churches, in our homes, our hearts. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I turn on a podcast or listen to, not radio, but what do we listen? Podcasts and TV. Yeah, there you go. That right? I see pastors, the things that come out of their mouth sometimes during this time of division really bothers me because it doesn't contribute anything to unity, but rather divides the congregation, right? God calls in this passage is personal. It's for each and every one of us. Healing starts deep within us. Humbling ourselves, praying and seeking his face before we hope to heal the land. We must first recognize that our own part in this division. So the starting point is my people who are called by my name, which is us. Point number two is humility in a time of pride. If we go back to that passage, what is the second thing that we see on the passage? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That's the second thing. God says, humble themselves. Election season are notorious, right, for magnifying pride, pride and being right. I must be right. Pride are winning arguments. Pride are holding power. Yet God calls us to humility. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. In a culture where everyone is eager to be heard and to be right, how rare is it to find people willing to humble themselves? What does humility mean here? Humility means admitting that we don't have all the answers. It means that recognizing that we may have contributed to some of the division intentionally or unintentionally. Humility leads us to value unity over proving a point. Humility opens a door for reconciliation, allows us to approach difficult conversations with grace rather than hostility. The healing of our land won't come through prideful debates or angry rhetorics. It will come through the quiet strength of humility of God's people. It is through humility that we allow God's love to flow through us. Point number three, what is next? It says the power of prayer. The third thing it says in this passage is, if my people who are called by my name, number one, will humble themselves, number two, the third is, and pray and seek my face. And pray and seek my face. The world tells us to fight harder, to shout louder, and to resist even more fiercely. You all remember when 45 got shot in the ear during a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, in an assassination attempt. I remember watching that, and the first thing he did, he got up and he raised his fist to the air and he yelled, fight, fight, fight. It was very emotional. I remember watching that. I was tearing up just seeing the strength of this guy, you know? That's the first thing he thought of, was tell his audience to fight. I think it's also a very natural response as well, right? When somebody does something wrong to us, our natural response is to fight. And that ultimately became his rally cry in the convention and for his rallies and so on. By the way, I'm not comparing 45 to Jesus, okay, please. But what I am saying is Jesus just calls us to a different way. That's all I'm saying, right? If you look at Luke 23:34, you will remember this. When Jesus was led to the cross, and when was hanging on the cross. And when the soldiers were mocking him while he's hanging there to die, what did Jesus say? Did Jesus say to his people, 5, 5, 5? No. What did Jesus say? Jesus prayed for them. Jesus prayed. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus shows us a different way. God says, pray, because when we pray, we acknowledge that God is in control and not us. Prayer shifts our focus from the chaos around us to the peace that only God can bring. When we pray, we invite God into our divided spaces, our relationships, our communities, yes, even our politics. Prayer softens hearts, including our own. And prayer transforms minds. It helps us to see people not as enemies or adversaries, but as souls in need of grace, just like us. In a time of division, prayer is our greatest weapon, because through prayer, we align ourselves with God's will and allows the Spirit to work in ways that we cannot. Point number 4, seeking God's face, not political wins. If we go back to the passage, if my people who are called by my name, number 1, will humble themselves, number 2, and pray and seek my face, number 3, and number 4 is turn from their wicked ways. Seek their face, right? Seek their face and turn from their wicked ways. God calls us to seek his face, which is an invitation to draw near to him, to align our hearts with his. In this election season, it's easy to get caught up in seeking political victories and wanting our party or our candidates to win, but God is asking us to seek something higher. God is asking us to seek his presence, his righteousness, his will. When we seek God's face, our perspective begins to shift. We began to care less about winning arguments and more about winning hearts for Jesus. We care less about advancing political agendas, but more about advancing his kingdom. When we seek his face, we became agents of healing, and we're able to bridge the divide that seems impossible. Seek his face. Number 5 is turning from our wicked ways. Turning from our wicked ways. Finally, God calls us to turn from our wicked ways. This is not just a call to repent from individual sin, but from the collective brokenness that that division has caused in our nation. It is about turning away from anger, bitterness, and hostility that often defines our interaction during this time. Now, what if we, instead of contributing to the division, that Christians become peacemakers? What if we choose love over hatred? What if we choose reconciliation over revenge? What if we embody the love of Christ in every conversation, every debate, and every interaction with others that we might not agree with? God's promise here is clear, that if we turn from our wicked ways, he will hear us, forgives us, and heal our land. Number 6 is that healing our land starts with us. In the season of deep division, God's people are called to be different. We are called to be different. We are called to be the salt and light of the world, reflecting his grace and truth in everything that we do. Healing begins in our home, in our church, in our community, in our hearts. That's where it begins. We may not agree with people on every political issue, but we can agree on this, that Jesus Christ is our hope. It is through him that true healing will come. And as we humble ourselves and pray, we seek his face, we turn from division, we position ourselves to be a part of the healing that our land so desperately needs. My prayer for us as a church is that we will not contribute to this division around us, but instead be instrument of God's healing. In a time of division, let this church, let each and every one of us be united in Christ, and that as we do, may God hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. You know, we are standing truly at the crossroads between division and unity. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is not merely a historical lesson, but a warning for all of us today. In the days of Solomon, the temple was a physical representation of God's presence among his people. However, in the New Testament time, which we are today, we are the temple. Each and every one of us are the temple individually. We carry the presence of God with us everywhere we go. The healing of our land, whether it is, you know, the division in our community or fractured relationships or brokenness of our heart, begins with us. Just as the future of Israel was based on their faithfulness to see God and turn from their ways, our future also depends on our willingness to turn back to God and to repent of our sins and to seek his face. This season, especially in the midst of political and social divisiveness, we are tempted oftentimes to emulate the pride and hostility of the world. But God is calling us again to a different path, a path not defined by winning debates or dominate our opponents, but by humility, prayer, repentance. The healing of our land does not begin with a political party or a platform. It begins with people of God falling to their knees, seeking his face, and turning from the divisive and destructive ways that have taken root in our lives. And when we humble ourselves, we create space for God to do what only he can do, and which is to heal and to bring reconciliation. And as this healing is not just a personal one, but is for our nation as well. Right? As God promised to Solomon that he will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land, but the responsibility must start with each and every one of us. Healing starts at our home, in our churches, in our communities. It starts when we stop pointing fingers and start lifting our hearts to God in prayer. Brother and sister, if it's during this time that you feel confused, anxious, or angry at all, may I suggest that maybe you cut out some of the noises. Take a sabbatical from social media and the news. You know, I'm a big 49ers fan, football fan, and I often record their games on so I can watch it later. I watch it sometimes. But as I record the game, I'm also checking the score to see who won, right? But the reality is, the 49ers lose, I won't even watch it. But if they win, I will watch it with joy. I watch it with joy because I know they won. I know the outcome. But I can watch it with joy and the comfort of knowing my 49ers won. So why am I even going there? Because the reality is, whoever wins the election, as children of God, we already know this, how the story ends. We know the end result. Because why? Jesus wins. Jesus, our glorious King, will return, as he said. He wins. So regardless how you're feeling, the anxiousness, the anger, the confusion, it's all good. Jesus wins at the end. To close this morning, I'm going to encourage you that let us be the people who represent God's calling. Let us be the people who reject division and seek unity in Christ. Let us be the people who humble ourselves, who pray earnestly, who repent sincerely, and who invite God to heal our land. For the promise of 2 Chronicles 7:14 remains as true today as it was in the time of Solomon. That if we humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek his face, if we turn from our wicked ways, then it is only then that God will hear us from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. Brothers and sisters, may we be the generation that rises to this challenge, that embraces his call and become the vessel through which God's healing flows to a divided world. Amen.